you are at this particular moment and however it is that you are sharing this Thanksgiving, I trust that it is with those you love, those who love you. If you are not in that set of circumstances, I am deeply grateful that you have joined us in this post-Thanksgiving day, Thanksgiving show, especially just for you, Tallahassee Talks annual Thanksgiving feast. And I couldn't do it without our able chef de cuisine, Miriam Davey, who has joined us with all kinds of goodies in mind as we proceed. How are you, my friend?
Oh, yes, I can make jello. I can fill the mold. I'm good. Thank you. I'm going to be on a treadmill from now until January 15th.
Absolutely.
Just don't listen to my huffing and puffing
I
as
promise.
We go.
No judgments. Absolutely none. And I trust then that you've been able to do those things that you most enjoy about Thanksgiving, right? You were with some family, friends.
I always look forward to Thanksgiving. I always enjoy Thanksgiving. It's those few hours of panic between those two things that, you know, just hoping it all comes together. But nobody cares if it doesn't.
It's one of those places in your year, those times in your year when there's a lot of grace.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm not a Black Friday person, so I don't really care about all.
You weren't out at 3 o'clock yesterday morning.
I can get to the shopping. I'm not.
What's the matter with you?
That's something I'm thankful I don't participate in.
I have to tell you, I think it was 2 years ago. Then Annette and I were at home day after. There were shreds of turkey left, you know, all over the house from the day before, and people had come through, and it was glorious. And then it was Friday, and it was just the two of us sort of staring, hoping that we could somehow recover from not just the day, but of course, as you say, all of the preparation. And so we're sipping on some coffee, and it's mid-morning, and we're just there. And I said, well, you know what? It is Black Friday.
That's right.
Of course. Let's go buy a car. And she's staring at me. Well, the backstory is that she had lost the vehicle that was hers.
Where did she leave it last?
I should say it was destroyed. Yes, the car was broadsided by a wayward driver, not to be recovered. So,
ouch.
So the car was totaled. She was devastated because she loved that car. Nonetheless, you know, my thought was, well, let's go buy a car. And sure enough, we did. We ended up at a dealership not far from the house and spent the rest of the day.
Wow.
And walked out with a set of keys.
How great
by day's
is that?
End. And I mean,
good
it was like
you.
After dark by the time we got out of there. It was
but
like,
you did. You
wow.
accomplished that all in one day.
It was an amazing thing.
You didn't like homework it to death and then go other places.
We just, you know, we did a little bit of that. But anyway, yeah, kind of that.
You.
And it all worked out. So that's my only Black Friday story that I can tell you.
And you saved thousands.
I certainly did. Well, I think I did. They told me I did. I believed them. That's how aggressive I am, right? Prudent shopper that I am. But she loves the vehicle. So it's all worth it.
You know, good job.
Annette likes her new car. You have, for your sake and for your own personal history, been around the country in all of your growing up years and adult years. And I have to say then, you have celebrated Thanksgiving in a lot of different places, not the least of which would be Seattle, Pacific Northwest, California, right?
There was
a period of time there. And I want to say, I don't know, four or five other places.
New York,
yeah,
you know, South Florida. Tell you what's fun is to give thanks in other countries. Mm. Now, it wasn't necessarily our Turkey Day.
Right.
You know, that's kind of not done right. elsewhere. But
right.
when you're in a place like Israel and you see them getting ready for Holy Week and Passover and that kind of thing, and everything is done for a purpose. Mm. Every bit of cleaning, every bit of preparation, what's prepared, how you partake of it. It all has symbolism and meaning. You know, every human part of our race has a way of being grateful. And I think that's something that we need to do as much as need to be reminded to do. Mm-hmm. We need to be grateful.
I think back to some of those folks that have been on the show over the years, and more than one person, especially those who are involved in some way with life coaching or therapy or education, gratefulness, gratitude is a foundational component of good health.
Mental health.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. So we're in that moment now when we can take this next number of minutes ahead of us. And folks, that's what we're doing today. We want to give thanks for the many people that have come our way, the organizations that serve all of us, and especially those within our community who may have a special need or a particular need. And I'm thinking of people like Elder Care Services or the Alzheimer's Project.
Yeah.
Those folks who make it their business to care for the needs of people in a very, very special way, very unique way. We couldn't go further without saying that all of the folks with America's Second Harvest.
Mm, fantastic.
The Big Bend.
Yeah.
Rick Miner and his team over there.
Yeah.
That organization in and of itself is a watershed. All of the food that is donated there is then disseminated, distributed among all of these food charities, whether it's Catholic Charities or ECHO or any of them. Yeah. They all look to America's Second Harvest as their supply.
Yeah.
So I thought it'd be cool if we will do this. We're going to take the next 2 hours as we celebrate with you Thanksgiving and offer up our word of thanks for these individuals and the organizations that that bless our community, make us better at who we really are, I think. And we're going to start with Rick Miner.
Good.
There was a conversation we had with Rick some months ago, and I wanted to bring that back to us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back right after that, and we'll have Rick Miner talking with us then about the work of America's Second Harvest. And the most notable factoid, I always want to bring this up when I talk about him, is how while food donations are wonderful and for which they are deeply grateful, they have this unique ability to take a dollar and get it to do the work of four.
That is a part of my holiday tradition, is to stroke a check to Second Harvest. That's the best way I can donate to them.
It's a great thing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So $10 equals $40 worth of food because of their relationship with these major food suppliers nationally. So they have a great buying power, you'd say.
And what a great gift to give somebody on behalf of.
It is a good idea.
People love it.
Yeah. I'm sending in this $100 on your behalf.
Exactly.
Happy Thanksgiving.
That's it.
Folks, we're going to continue. You stay with me. I've got Miriam Dady here, the one, the only, the wonderful Miriam Dady. And glad that you are here. I'm thankful for each of you. You stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
As we promised you, Rick Miner, who is the head of the Second Harvest right here in Tallahassee, came and spoke with us a year ago, almost a year precisely. And we have a little to share from what he shared with us back then. Enjoy this.
Well, so in your first 3 months, we'll say then, you've hosted a number of events. You just got through doing this big Blue Jeans Bash fundraiser and a send-off for Jim Croteau, who in his own way stepped in at that moment when his help was needed.
Yes. In April 2015, Second Harvest of the Big Bend, the previous leadership had discovered a rodent infestation in the old warehouse.
Yeah.
To the point where it had been festering for a long time, and it was beyond beyond resolution. So Dr. Jim Croteau was hired by the board to come in and right that ship.
Yeah. And he did a good job.
He did an incredibly good job. We came very close to have Second Harvest of the Big Bend lose its contract with Feeding America, the National Food Bank Network. Had that happened, it's likely that Second Harvest would have had to close down.
And folks, when you don't know this, you might think, well, so what? The so what is that every other food assistance charity in this region relies upon the functionality that Second Harvest of the Big Bend brings. Am I right?
That's right, Brian. We have about 130 different agency partners, we call them. These are food pantries, shelters, churches, schools, other nonprofits. We work with those 130 different partners to provide food to them and their pantries so that they can deliver that food to families and individuals that are hungry.
And you know what? When I think again of your personal style here, thinking of the future of this organization and what you are doing as an organization to feed hungry families, there's something immediately impactful about that, of course. But then there's that long term. It's that broader mission that has to do with how people can improve their own lot.
Exactly. I mean, up until now, Second Harvest for the last year and a half had been focused simply on just keeping its doors open, making sure we could, keep the electricity on.
Yep.
Now that we're on some somewhat firmer footing, my job as a new CEO is to two things that I really want to accomplish. We feed in the Big Bend 55,000 people a month, but the need is twice that amount. One thing I want to do over the next 3 or 4 years.
You're telling me the need is over 100,000
yes,
people.
There are about 110,000 people in the Big Bend that are food insecure. And by food insecure, what I mean is that they don't know when or whether they're going to get their next healthy meal.
Wow.
Now, in Florida, overall, food insecurity has improved somewhat. Uh-huh. The number of people that are hungry has been reduced over the last few years.
Okay.
In the Big Bend, unfortunately, it's gotten worse. So we feed 55,000 people a month. There are about 110,000 people out there that are hungry. What I want to do over the next 3 or 4 years is work with our community here to grow Second Harvest, our capacity, so that we can feed 100% of those people that are hungry. But I don't want to stop there, because if you think about it, feeding the hungry is an essential need. If a family is hungry, they don't have the wherewithal to look for a better high-paying job. They don't have the focus on trying to figure out how they can deal with maybe a drug independent an alcohol dependency issue they might have within their family. Yeah. Getting food on the table is the first step toward normalization for a family.
And in that respect, oftentimes people in law enforcement will speak to this. People in social services will speak to this. You're absolutely right. That fundamental need for food and healthy food is seminal. It has to start there before you can even address some of these broader, more significant problems.
And so what I want to do as the new CEO of Second Harvest, my long-term vision is to grow our capacity so that we can feed 100% of the people that are hungry out there.
Okay.
But it's much more important than even that.
Right.
I want to focus Second Harvest on working with other partners in the Big Bend community so that we can help these folks find the help that they need to become self-sufficient.
Yeah, I
want to. We need to feed everyone that's hungry in the Big Bend, but we also need to focus on shortening that line. And
what does that mean? What does that mean? Shortening the line,
reducing the number of people that are hungry in the Big Bend to begin with.
Okay.
So, and Second Harvest is in a unique position to reach out to all those folks that really need assistance, not just because they're hungry, but also because maybe they are underemployed or they can't find a job or they've got issues with drug and alcohol or a whole host of other things, legal issues.
So you're trying to get down to the root of how in the world is it that they don't have enough food on the table? You're looking at some of that. Yeah.
Well, you know, because Second Harvest, if someone is willing to go to one of our pantries or wait in line at one of our trucks in, at a community center, if they're willing to wait in line to get a loaf of bread, chances are really good they need some type of other assistance too. And so Second Harvest is in a unique position to work with other partners in this community so that these folks can find that type of assistance they need to be self-sufficient. Yep. It's that whole cliche about giving a fish versus teaching someone to fish.
There we go.
It's such an old axiom, but it works in this case because
it's still true.
Meaningful with what we are trying to do. Brian, you mentioned this before. You know, we can really stretch your dollar for the maximum impact. So it normally, if you give us $10, we can use that $10 to provide 40 meals to families because of the economies of scale.
Wow.
So I don't know of a better way you can have a greater impact on feeding the hungry and helping those that need help than supporting Second Harvest.
Tell us about the Turkey Trot. What's that
Turkey
all?
Trot.
Yeah.
Well, on Thanksgiving Day, the Turkey Trot, as I think many of your listeners know, is a huge event put on by the City of Tallahassee and other partners. And we will be there in force at Turkey Trot. So when you put your running shorts on and you get all decked out to come to Turkey Trot that day, also bring some canned goods. Any type of canned goods will work.
Dry goods,
pasta, anything that you have that's non-perishable. We will be there to accept your donation, and we'll be grateful for anything you all can do. And,
fantastic.
Real means a lot to us. There'll be thousands of people out there. If your listeners can help us by going there and donating whatever they have, it'd be a huge help to us.
Another example of one of those people and those organizations that we are terribly grateful for, America's Second Harvest of the Big Bend, Rick Miner, their executive director. Folks, we've got more. You stay with me. We'll be right back.
Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot, tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids' activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them. Tallyconnection.com. Visit this week. Find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. It's Thanksgiving weekend. Here you are on this beautiful Saturday with us. Miriam Dady has joined us graciously because she has other things to do right now, cleaning up all of the leftovers.
I'm waiting for the Pepto-Bismol to take effect.
Come on.
It's a lot of food.
Oh, well, the question remains, how is it then that we find ourselves knowing that we're going to do this to ourselves?
Isn't it amazing?
It's a strange thing.
Homo sapiens are bizarre.
We are
mammals.
Don't get Carl started on that topic because, we just don't have enough time. But the fact of the matter is we find ourselves enjoying, we'll say, generally, the fruit of our labors. We're giving thanks for all that we've been given. We bring this all down to the meal. And at the same time, there are those things, and you said this to get us going in this conversation at the opening of the show, what gratitude really amounts to. And the fact of the matter is the people that I've found most inspiring in my life and continue to do this are those who are most grateful for the least of things.
Yeah.
Who have so very little to offer anyone or have for themselves. And yet there's the kind of gratefulness about them that seems to be, I don't know, it just seems to be promoted.
Gratitude
those circumstances.
Breeds gratitude.
Yeah.
And when you begin to see those things in front of you that we take for granted constantly, look at where we live. Look at Tallahassee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is a jewel. And we were talking earlier, I've traveled all over the world. I really don't want to live anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
This is the destination.
Wow.
And we're lucky to have people around us that protect it and have that in their mind.
Have done so and continue to bring enhancements and blessings. Mm-hmm. And that's what, of course, we're doing here today. Trying to give you, as a listener, the opportunity to feast with us, Miriam and I, as we talk about these organizations and the people who contribute so sizably and noticeably. It's unfortunate that it's easy to pass over or overlook the people who, in their own way, are contributing remarkably. And it's interactive, isn't it?
And it encourages us to share what we've got. When we begin to recognize it, my natural response is, I got to show this to somebody else.
Yeah.
I enjoy it more when I can share it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And hopefully we've got a ripple effect that can just take over like a virus, that can just go.
Yeah. This last week, this last Sunday, we were fortunate, Annette and I, to attend TC Chorus, Tallahassee Community Chorus performance, Mendelssohn's Psalm 42.
Wow.
Staggering, absolutely staggering. Anton Armstrong, Dr. Armstrong, was the guest conductor for this performance, who has been Dr. Andre Thomas' lifelong friend. They grew up together, went to school together.
And is that at Ruby Diamond?
It was. It was at Ruby Diamond. Place was packed out.
Mm-hmm.
What an incredibly moving performance. I mean, people were openly weeping in this show. Anton Armstrong, man that he is, Dr. Armstrong, stood and began to tell us his recollection of the lifelong friendship he's had with Dr. Thomas. He saluted him for being the world-renowned director of choral studies at Florida State University, and as a musician, as an artist in his own way, as a conductor, he said unabashedly, world famous.
Wow.
And he said, by the way, let me tell you something about your Tallahassee Community Chorus.
Yeah.
They have hit the big time. They are as well equally respected and world-renowned. Those were his words. Now, this is a man who has conducted the St. Olaf Choir for several decades.
Wow.
He himself is world-class. But to offer that kind of affirmation, the accolade, and to do so without any any sort of insincerity. He was right in front of us saying,
the real deal right here.
You guys got to realize what you have. What kind of you mentioned Tallahassee being the jewel.
Yeah.
And that's what reminded me, because he said, what you have in front of you is a jewel.
So many jewels right here.
Astounding.
It's true.
Well, one of those that we particularly wanted to recall is the work that Russell Dawes and all of those folks that are Tallahassee Museum bring us.
Yes.
And they've got their market days coming up, right?
That's it. Oh, good grief. Are you kidding?
Oh, my gosh.
I'm expecting you to pick out my Christmas present.
I did that already.
Oh, good.
Now, it's nothing big. But
their early bird shopping doesn't start until 8 a.m.
I just, okay, but I have
second.
An idea, okay? I haven't actually purchased it yet,
oh,
but it's coming, okay? Give me a break. So, yeah. So Russell Dawes, what a great leader he is in that capacity. And this Tallahassee Museum helping us stay clear-minded about our own history agriculturally and economically, the cultural history that is Tallahassee.
And things like Asian small claw otters.
And red
wolves. I didn't know there was such a thing, but boy, are they cute.
Yes, and they're celebrating their 60th anniversary with this wonderful collection of 60 items that are rarely seen, including Catherine Murat's dress.
Oh, yeah.
So you got to go out and see that.
That she made by hand.
Yeah, yeah. Well, along with all of that, it then reminds us of Dell Suggs, because Dell was one of the founding board members and annually, faithfully organizes this neat little Tallahassee Museum Jazz Blues Festival that happens every year.
Pancake breakfast.
Oh, my gosh. It's awesome. So we thought we'd take a moment here. Let me share with you a song from Dell Suggs, Standing in the Rain.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton. Hamilton is helping homebuyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back, folks. I want to share a friend with you, and you might not know what he looks like, but if you've ever met Dave Barfield, you would just have to look deeply through the lens he's staring at you with, because that is how the man sees the world. It's a beautiful world when you see what he has produced, and he is an amazing contributor to our community, and I'm really grateful for him. I'd like you to hear more.
You have been the guy on call for so many folks here and around the country, and there are some stories about you, even in South America, where you were doing photographic work. And I won't betray anything here, but let's talk about some of the most, or maybe the most, if there is one, challenging photo assignments that you've had to deal with. And that might be a toss-up, but...
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up. I think one of my favorite photo assignments was shooting at Los Alamos National Laboratory, which was just so fascinating. I've sort of gotten into a niche of photographing science labs, and that stuff fascinates me, and they're beautiful, but the Los Alamos was an incredible place to shoot. Wow. I saw stuff that not many people get to see, so that was pretty amazing.
And I would imagine they were a bit careful about what they let you take.
Yes, pictures. And in fact, they were extremely careful, and I was supervised the entire time.
So security clearances were important.
Yes.
I got that. But wow, is there any way we can see some of those photos that you did, or are they
available? A few. Most of them are not my property, since I was shooting for someone else. And you see them in magazines, but they're not.
That's the other thing, is that a lot of times people are publishing your work. Sometimes you get credited, sometimes you don't. Isn't that like not cool?
Yeah, it depends on the contract. If it's if I'm what they call work for hire, if Los Alamos hires me to come take a bunch of images of their stuff, they don't necessarily need to give credit when it runs.
Right.
And then, you know, sometimes it's people just forget, which is not a big deal.
Well, another one of my favorite stories, we'll cut to the chase here. You've done a lot of work for the University of Michigan, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. My understanding is that Michigan state law requires that they try to find photographers, or any contracted work needs to be found among them within the state. Right. They went through that search and then came to you.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure how all that happened, but...
But you ended up doing work there for them in the dead of winter, and I did... Or I guess it was wintertime, or...
No, it was actually the springtime.
Oh, it was early spring, okay. But there wasn't a whole lot blooming and stuff. I mean, Michigan is not known for its... You know, it's not Florida. So in that regard, it was sort of barren. But I saw a lot of the photos that came from that work.
Mm-hmm.
Striking. I mean, just the, and a lot of them were black and white.
I did, yeah. I think what you saw was more the personal work rather than the actual university work.
That was just your stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks for setting me straight on that. I'm gushing here a little bit, I admit, but I like your stuff. When is a photo a good photo to you?
To me, when it speaks beyond the image and creates some sort of connection with whatever you're looking at in the photo. And if it's not that, it's just, I don't even know what it is. If it's not, it's like the, especially in this day and age, we're constantly flooded with imagery through Facebook and Twitter, and it's just so many images coming out, and we're all drowning in them, so that there's so few images that have an emotional impact. A friend of mine, Mark Wallheiser, who I think you know, took one of the most powerful images of the Trump campaign I've seen.
Yeah.
And it's hard to describe, but it's just Trump speaking to a woman and she has this amazing look on her face, and describing it as a very nondescript image. But it's an amazing image. It's just incredible.
Yeah.
And of course, as you know, it ran on the front page of the New York Times. It ran everywhere.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there's a billion images of Trump on the campaign trail, but that one image just spoke volumes about what
was handing him her baby.
She was handing him her baby, and she had just a look of
adoration and surprise and all of that.
And,
as you say, your description doesn't get
it. You can't describe it, but at this point, most people have seen that image because it's still running.
Yeah.
But that was such a powerful image, and that's when a photograph is good.
Huh.
The technicalities of it aren't as important as the emotional impact of it. My favorite photographer, who I think everybody should look up, is Sally Mann.
Huh.
And her entire body of work is based on the flaws in her process. She also does wet plate collodion. And she purposely goes and buys antique lenses with scratches that don't work very well, or cameras that have light leaks, and just all, but the imperfections in the photo are what makes the photos powerful.
Huh.
She did her husband has a disease where basically one half of the muscles in his body are atrophying. And she did an entire book based on that. And the combination of watching his body decay would not have worked if she had not done that imperfect process with these flaws and everything else. It's just some of the most beautiful photos I've ever seen.
You've also said, and I've heard you say this not just to me but to other folks, that when you are photographing someone, you take the opportunity to find them in action. You'd rather that they simply behave normally rather than pose for a photograph.
Right, which is, you know, not unique to me, obviously. I stole that technique from a photographer in the 40s and 50s named Edward Weston, who would, as he was setting up his shots, and of course he was using large format cameras, would basically pretend like he was just working on his camera in order to get portraits of people in a natural, just not looking at the camera, posing, and that's why his portraits are so amazing.
Wow. Well, folks, I'll tell you, along with Dave, I have this interest in how things come together, how people make things. And you said earlier that when you watch a guy like Danny Goddard, for you it's just sort of magic. I take the same sort of position here with you, because I don't know how it is that you do what you do.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean the technical things, although that in and of itself is, I think I'd need like a degree in physics or something before I could really begin to grasp the technical aspects of what you do. But I think what I find mysterious is how you come to those moments when you are creating an image for us that is memorable. And in fact, you do so with intent. You know, you go in looking for that. And when you find it, you are generous enough to share it with us. Dave, thank you for being part of the show today.
Thank you for having me.
We're going to continue this conversation whenever you have a moment, because, folks, this guy stays very, very busy, as you might imagine.
For the works of Dave Barfield, we are thankful. And we're thankful for you, my friend. Stay with me. Miriam and I will be back after the top of the hour with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Witten Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Witten Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Witten Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Witten's way of doing business for over 70 years. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best, like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Witten is known for taking care of business. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
The most talked about topics in town. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We are back with this here fine radio show that you love so much. The one, the only Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny and the very lovely Miriam Dady, who kindly, generously is sharing this feast of Thanksgiving gratefulness.
Lovely, kindly, generously. That's me.
That is you all over. And in doing so, we're strolling about thinking of those people and those organizations, even the parts of our community, places that have made Tallahassee quite special for so many. And it is a population of diversity. It is an ecosystem of great diversity. You know, it's, when you imagine longleaf pines and palm trees growing side by side, when you find this coastal climate, and then you have this kind of hilly, you know,
rolling hills red clay.
Yeah, the foothills of the Appalachians.
Spanish moss.
That's what this is all about. Yep. You have all of that going on, the rivers, the remarkable manner in which this region offers us so much. And in fact, when we look around the coastal environment, we find a guy like Jack Rudlow, who hangs out with the likes of horseshoe crabs and and sea turtles. And this man single-handedly has probably contributed most sizably to the welfare of the Gulf environment, and has been recognized. We had him back on the show here about a year and a half ago, at which time he was telling us this good news, right? National Geographic had recognized him for his contribution. So we're going to take a minute here and recall this lovely conversation with our good friend and the friend of many sea turtles, Jack Rudlow.
There seems to be about Gulf specimen a kind of uniqueness, a personality. I don't know. It's a sort of ambiance, really, that when I'm there, I feel like I'm very, very close to the reality of Gulf specimen marine life. The touch tanks alone, I think you have more touch tanks than any
place else that I've ever seen, or any aquarium that I've been
to. And it doesn't matter how old you are. If you haven't done this, if you haven't reached into a touch tank and touched that starfish, right, you just don't know what it's like.
Oh.
But once you do that, man, it changes you. You just have a whole different appreciation. I think it's about us recognizing these individual creatures for their own right, and seeing that as another being that has a purpose in life, right? And not just sort of this amorphous collection of, but this is an individual. I felt that very strongly with the sea turtle that you had in rehab. Tell me your name again. I've forgotten.
Oh, well, that was Ali.
Thank you.
That's where we had 1,500 people.
Astounding.
But yesterday, earlier this week, we had the last Kemp's Ridley that had been entangled in fishing line, and it was full of barnacles. Its head was twisted with this line, and the line was cutting through its flipper and all that. And the vet, you know, basically shaved off the wound, refixed it, and everything else. And it was, and we kept this turtle for a month, and we were feeding it crabs every day and that kind of thing. But when we had, you know, it was, we didn't make much of out of it, as we had it on something on Facebook. We had over 50 people come down
just
to Ballpoint and show up and say bye to the turtle as the turtle walks down the beach and gets into the water.
Right.
And that connection between, you know, man and turtle and creature is, it's so important. And all we're really doing is showcasing life, for getting people into these experiences.
It's a remarkable thing, because it's not just me doing something for the natural world. It's what that natural world is doing for me. It comes back to me and says, hey, I see you too. And I, yes. And it's that transform. You see it with little kids. You see it with big doofuses like me that all of a sudden you're not thinking the same way anymore.
We're not separate from the world. That's the reality. I don't care how many iPads or cell phones or whatever else we have and all that stuff. We are still breathing the same atmosphere and the same water. And the same water is flowing through our blood as it is theirs.
What's your passion now? You've stepped out on this national stage. So where do we go
Quite
from
frankly,
here, Jack?
What I want to do is raise money to create a new level of awareness. And this takes, but all right, if you go to Gulf Specimen, all right, you'll see tanks and water and everything else.
Sure.
Behind the scenes are pumps, filters, ultraviolet, ozone, protein skimmers, all the stuff that is required to keep stuff alive in tanks.
Yeah.
Okay, it's an extensive and complex situation. Now, if you, and it costs thousands of thousands of dollars to keep going. It's very costly. Let's step across the street from Gulf Specimen and stare out over Dickerson Bay and the Apalachee Bay. Huh. There we have wetlands, we have water, we have tide, we have mudflats. We have, the water is replaced by itself. The sun provides the energy. In other words, it's the free weight work of nature that's producing seafood for us. It's producing beautiful birds to watch. It's producing wetlands. It's part of our soul. And all we have to do that is just not screw it up. I mean, so I want to show the contrast. So we would like to, you know, expand our graphics, our visual, our things where people can understand and see what it takes to keep stuff on a mechanical basis and then understand that just across the street and on the beach and all that water out there takes care of itself, or it gives us the seafood, the fish. And yet, you know, you have things like Wakulla County government that has fought against every environmental protection that has ever come along and, you know, repealed its wetlands ordinance and continues
to
do that.
Well, and then there was this meeting only last week, too, about the Apalachicola River and the flow of fresh water that is vital to the health of the Gulf. Now, my understanding, I don't have all the details from that, apparently there's no net change in how the Army Corps is going to manage this. But that's a very controversial situation. You got Alabama and you got Georgia and Florida and the Gulf all depending on this waterway.
On the water flow, right. And the water, normally, if we take all that away, the water comes down from the rain. It flows down through the rivers and the swamps. It carries its vegetation with it and its nutrients and its food and all the natural things out into the Gulf to feed the oysters, the crab, the shrimps, and so on.
Yep.
You cut the water in half. You pollute the water. You impact all those wonderful things that we sort of take for granted. I mean, let's go fishing this weekend and so on and so forth. Well, those fish are all dependent upon the wetlands.
Yeah.
I mean, unhappily, the in St. Mark's, we used to go to the Stone Crab Festival, and then we had the wetlands disputes or issues and all that. And they don't realize the entire economy of stone crabs depends upon wetlands and marshes and detritus coming out and all these tiny little crabs that I can hold 500 in one palm all would not exist if it weren't for these wetlands and systems.
And,
but then we hear boogaboos of private property and
well,
fight
and just
against.
In case you hadn't noticed, folks, the impact of that doesn't end at the Wakulla County line. This is a very big pond. The ripple effect is endless. And so what happens in this gulf and along this part of the region is impacting the rest of the world, literally. So,
wow, what a treat it is to have people who care for and are longing to share with our next generation the sea animals that we have around us. We are going to continue this walk down memory lane. Stay with us. We'll be back.
Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on. Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400 because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Merry Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Merry Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service. They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at merrymaids.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Okay, Tallahassee, nothing says gratitude like a little bit of blues, which we are probably all feeling after that second or third piece of pecan pie,
I'm
right,
telling you,
Brian?
I've got a turkey bone stuck in my tooth. It's just driving me nuts. Yes.
Well, our friend Brett Wellman and his mighty guitar shared part of our year this past year. He is such a awesome stone cold man, isn't he?
He certainly is that.
Sometimes blue and sometimes not so blue, but yeah. Whenever he picks up that guitar, it makes me happy. And I want to share it with everybody.
Yeah, let's listen.
Name of the band is Stone Cold Blues. Started out doing a charity event, and you said earlier that that's an important thing for younger folks, or not necessarily younger, but those breaking in, to think about how they can grow their business, grow awareness, do those charitable events where they can donate their talents. Be sure to write it off on your taxes.
Absolutely.
As a contribution. But don't get to the point where you're simply giving your time away at some bar because they're willing to pay you $25. I've noticed, and I mentioned this to you earlier, Danny Bedrosian talking about the difference between Thomasville and Tallahassee,
right.
Thomasville paying more. Is that because Tallahassee hasn't better yet? Why is that, do you think?
You know, it's...
what's Thomasville got going on that we don't?
A different attitude. A different attitude about it. Thomasville, and I'm not overly familiar with Thomasville performing up there.
Yeah.
But from what I've read, from what I've heard from that interview and such,
yeah.
Thomasville has a different appreciation of it. And they don't see music as something that's just going to be in the background where they can just advertise they have music. They see it as an actual supplement.
It is the thing.
Carl has brought that it's worth it.
To my attention on a few occasions, and that's true of music that is played out, you know, DJs playing music. It's really not about the music. The people that are going to those kinds of venues are jumping around and drinking and having a good time, and they're really there for a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
They're not there because of the music.
Look at it this way. All right, so you have an establishment and you call me and you say, hey, I want to book you on Saturday night. How many people can you bring in?
Mm.
Well, if I tell you I can bring in 25, 30 people, you're like, oh, wow, those are all new faces. That'll be great. Okay, so, but if you hire me to do that, the next night I'm playing somewhere else. So guess what? Those 25 or 30 people, they're not coming back. So you shouldn't hire me to bring in people. You should hire me as an additive to the people that you already have. If you're a restaurant, your food needs to bring in the people,
right?
Not the guy that's sitting in the corner with the guitar.
Right, right. Interesting.
Well, here's a sort of an example of that. I host a blues jam every single week, and it is at Dreamland Barbecue.
Dreamland.
And it's open to any musician of any caliber. It makes no difference. And I've had 12-year-olds come out and play.
Wow.
I've had 18-year-olds come out and play, and I've had 70-year-olds come out and play.
Wow.
Skill levels across the spectrum, and it doesn't matter. It's wide open. I just want people to come out and have stage experience and learn something and have fun.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
And for the people who are sitting there enjoying their Dreamland barbecue, Mm-hmm. What a treat that is.
Well, every week is different. We do it every Thursday starting at 6. Huh. And I've literally had an 18-year-old that knew three chords, and she came up and she did a couple songs that she knew. And I said, "Do you want to keep on playing?" And she says, "I don't know any blues." I said, "It's okay." And so throughout the rest of the evening, as the song would progress, I would call out the chords to her. And she ended up playing for over 2 hours.
Wow.
And she came back for the next 3 or 4 weeks before she went off to college. At one point in time, there's something called the blues scale or the pentatonic scale. It's very simple. It's just a pattern to learn it, basically. And I taught it to her while we were standing there. She learned it real fast in probably about 2 minutes. And in that next song she was playing, it was very simple, but she was playing lead guitar.
Wow.
And, I mean, the look on her face, on her dad's face, on her grandparents' face, and that's so rewarding, you know? So to me, music is not about competition. It's about enjoyment of music. Frank Jones, I saw him at the Bradfordville Blues Club. He had this one song that blew me away. It was one of his originals. And I thought, man, you know what? That song needs to be heard. Huh. That song isn't about Frank and just his band. It's about that song.
Yeah.
Which is why you have songs that are covered by all these other bands. Wow. It's not about that one band doing it. It's about the song. You know, the music belongs to everybody.
Well, as promised, Brett's going to bring to us his musical talents here with this song. Tell us about it.
Well, this is a Big Bill Brunzi tune. It's called Key to the Highway. And it was recorded back in the 40s. And a lot of the old bluesmen used 12 strings because it had such a bigger sound. You just don't see them very much anymore, so it's really unique.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen. Key to the Highway with Brett Wellman. Brett Wellman, one of the reasons why we are so thankful for you and for this great town that we are. You stay with us. Miriam and I will be back.
Experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. That's the Merry Maids way of keeping your home or office at its best. And it's what we have come to expect here at Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Our studios and offices always shine because Merry Maids makes the difference, like they do for hundreds of offices and homes in Tallahassee. They'll do just the same, just for you. And they're right here, giving back to our community and giving you extra benefits, like saving you up to $400 on your first cleaning by giving you extra service, and saving an extra 10% when you mention Tallahassee Talks. Their website makes it really easy for you, too. You can schedule a cleaning and make a payment with just a few clicks, any day, anytime, day or night,
when it's convenient for you. Call Merry Maids this week, 850-386-2205. That's 386-2205. Or find them online at merrymaids.com.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
One of the ways that we like to give thanks throughout the year as we go forward is to celebrate those local businesses that arguably represent the backbone of our community economically. Certainly it's been said that that's true nationally. Small business and what it contributes in terms of consumption in its own way. So that means that everything that they need to do what they do, they got to buy it from somebody else. And all those people that they employ and all the services that they render, it's remarkable. Well, we're fortunate that we have Miriam Dady. You know Miriam. She's sitting right here with me. Miriam is, in her own right, the perfect person to be doing this because she is an entrepreneur, a longtime Tallahasseean, well connected to the business community, and somebody who really just loves people and loves the creativity. And I should say, Miriam, I'm thankful for you.
I'm thankful for you,
well,
Brian.
Well, that wasn't why I said that, but thank you. And because of your contribution to this thing we call the Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
What a joy it is for me. Think about this. The caliber of people that come to us to just speak for a few minutes about how they're making our lives better in Tallahassee, it astounds me. Often I find the level of creativity among our entrepreneurs, it just blows me away. Mm. We're better because of it. I'm grateful for them. You know, we were talking earlier about some of the different folks, and we talked about our next generation.
Yes.
Carla Hutchinson with Arts After School, she has a vision for what kids need and what they long for and what gaps we have now in our public schools.
Indeed.
I'd love for people to learn more about what Carla has done for our community.
Yeah. Let's do that.
Let's play a little bit of our interview with her.
Sounds like a good idea.
It was not my idea. I was managing military research contracts at Florida State.
Yes, now I see the dovetail.
And my mom is a medical and therapeutic foster mom. I think she's had 60-some kiddos come through her household.
Wow.
Her last one was just placed in a permanent home with family, so we're really excited about that. And she literally endorsed her inheritance check over to me about 5 years ago and said, I want you to do something good for the community. We were really blessed. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. My dad worked really hard to allow us the opportunity to have a really blessed life with dance for me and music. My brother played tennis and was into sports and swimming and horseback riding and all these great things, which a lot of families that don't have the financial resources are really not able to do, but it provides such a rich background.
Yeah,
that was my mom's tasking to me was start a program and go. So
wow,
that was how it started.
Well, what do you do? So you got this check in your hands. What happens next?
So I called my dad, who is a successful business owner, and said, Dad, what do you think? And with his help, we found a location and started the program.
And it's on Weems Road.
Yes, 3510 Weems Road. So we have a brand new facility, thanks to my father, who purchased a location and built a site for us.
And I have seen your facility, and I've toured it. What a blast. Is there an age limit? Because there are a couple classes I want to take after school.
That's so funny. You're not the first one to say that. Actually, we have a lot of classes for all folks after hours, but the after school program is for school-aged kiddos.
What are the hours?
We pick the kids up from school. So depending on when they release, for most schools, it's 2:50 to 3:20. We have a middle school program this year as well, and we're open until 6 daily.
Wow. Okay. Now begin to make people salivate and talk about some of the classes you offer.
We have a really robust curriculum.
I know you do.
Let me see if I don't leave anything off. We have dance provided by Pottery Ballet. They're fantastic. We have karate provided by Logan's Martial Arts Academy. Also amazing instruction. Then we have an in-house music program. We have sewing and art. We have healthy cooking, world cuisine. We have Spanish. We have gardening. We have life skills. I think
music.
Music is guitar. Yes.
Wow.
So yeah, dance, karate, music, art, sewing, gymnastics, drama. I always forget drama.
Yeah, don't forget drama. That's a soft spot for me.
I know.
Well, this all happens after school.
Yes, after the school day ends.
To me, that's really when that would light my fuse as a kid. I would just be waiting to get through school so I could go to after school classes. Are they affordable? Can your average Leon County family just jump in and
think so. I mean, that was the goal. If you were to price out all of these classes individually,
right,
you know, it would be a huge amount of money.
Oh, gosh,
the yeah. most our families would ever pay is $432 a month for 5 days a week. And that includes two classes per day, homework, supervision, and assistance, and early pickup for those strange early release days.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that is incredible. Tell me, what is the youngest of the kids you take?
Five is really where I think the families will see the most benefit.
Mm-hmm.
On a case-by-case basis, if the attention span is there and they have immunizations and all of the stuff required for us to be in compliance with DCF licensing requirements, we can go four.
Right. And as far as class sizes, how do you do that?
It depends on the activity. Really, uh-huh. we ask our instructors what they feel is optimal. So we have some classes that are as small as 8 students, and our largest class would be 20, and that yeah. would be a karate or a dance class. But
right.
they tend to hover between 10 to 15 is probably average.
How do you staff for that variety of programs?
Yeah, I'm really, really blessed to have a blend of fantastic folks. I mean,
yeah.
some of our teachers have been with us since we opened, that have retired from the school system.
Uh-huh.
And Ms. Sheila is our oldest staff member, and she's fantastic. Then we have folks that are in college getting their doctoral degrees in music or different activities. So we are a little melting pot.
I know you are.
Yeah.
Now, if you think about the students you've had there, mm. the parents that have come and gone.
Yeah.
How many years now?
5.
5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking it was 2.
No.
5 years you've been doing this.
We have.
So you've had time to see kids cycle through.
Oh,
learning,
absolutely.
Learning real life skills.
Yes, that really is the goal of the program, are to sort of ignite creativity and fuel success for kids through life skills.
That's
to me, that's the goal. And we've been very fortunate to have amazing families. Thinking back to, you know, some of the kids that maybe have had a little bit of trauma in their background, that were struggling with behavioral issues when I first met them 5 years ago. I'm thinking of one student in particular that we were really having a hard time with, helping her even sit still, keeping yeah. her hands to herself. And now she's a volunteer with us.
Come on.
She's aged out of the program, doing fantastically, and is doing volunteer hours now that we have our nonprofit set up. So
that is great.
Yeah.
How would you recommend that parents with school age, you're thinking anywhere from elementary through middle school,
mm-hmm.
could they try it out? I mean, could people reach out to you on your website or call you and say, could I do a 3-month trial? Or Could they see how it goes?
Well, then, again, I'm not the best business owner and kind of lead with my heart. So we want families to be there because they see the value of the program and because they're happy, not because they've signed their life away. So we ask for a 30-day written notice. If it isn't working out, they're not tied to us forever. So that really should make it accessible to everyone who wants to give it a shot and see if it works. And I can count on one hand in 5 years the number of families that it wasn't a good fit for.
Another example of what Miriam Dady brings to us so well and so frequently, the business spotlight in which she had Carla Hutchinson with us. You stay with us because we've got a great opportunity to close out today's show, and I don't want you to miss it. You stay with us.
When you place a document in someone's hand, it should reach more than their head. It needs to reach their heart with compelling visuals and dramatic presentations right down to the paper it's printed on. Rapid Press reaches the hearts of thousands of people every day with commercial printing and mailing services for organizations that feed and house children, for businesses that bring vital products and services to our community, and for theaters, festivals, and orchestras reaching bigger audiences and bringing joy to life. Rapid Press commercial printers since 1983.
For digital printing, offset printing, finishing, and mailing services, reach for Rapid Press. When you're ready to share your vision, excite your customers, and reach the hearts of your audience, reach for Rapid Press. You'll find them online at rapidpress.com or call 893-7346. 893-7346. Rapid Press, the power of print.
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are, my friend, at the end of what is notably our most enjoyable moment of the year, when we can give thanks with you, for you, and for all those who make Tallahassee the shining jewel, we have said, that it really is, and on so many different levels and in so many different ways. And the people that we've had the pleasure of getting to talk to just in the last number of months.
Yeah,
Miriam, you've been here a long time. And in that time, it seems to me that you've had not only opportunity to get to know a lot of people, you've had opportunity to help a lot of people. I know that your business with Send Out Cards, your business with BNI, and these are all service-oriented businesses. You provide directly to the people that enjoy the benefits of that work. And it's, for me, it seems quite sensible. It's in keeping with your character, because I've never known you any other way. You are a person who says, what can I do to help out in that situation? Or even before you know that there is a need,
oh, you're sweet.
You'll figure out a solution that somebody has to use.
I tell you,
to their good.
It seems to it lifts me up, and it gives me real significance, even to interview and be a part of seeing some of these businesses grow, some of these people of art and culture and politics that we get to talk to. I really have a challenge for everybody listening to do what we've done today and go flip back in your calendar book.
List, right.
Look at what has happened week by week, month by month, that has blessed and changed the course of your life. I think that you will find things have happened, not only for a reason, but for very good reasons.
And isn't it remarkable that the practice of that, you began the show today talking about what it does for us, any of us, each of us, to give thanks. That in fact, this is good for us. This is good for our mental health and our physical health. So we have this nifty way of being able to text or message someone we haven't seen or heard from perhaps in a while. Maybe somebody that we know quite well, but we've just been like ships in the night, they say. Send them a message. Hey, it's Thanksgiving weekend, and I want to say thank you.
Pick up the phone, write a note, send a message. Pfizer doesn't get a cut of that, but I guarantee you'll feel better.
It sounds like a good idea. I think about this. At this particular point in our history as a nation, Thanksgiving Day was initiated by President Lincoln in 1863 during a time when the country was in shambles in many respects. There would be argument there to say, well, things weren't quite as bad off as they might have appeared at the time. But I have to say that in the course of that test, that contest that was about to determine whether or not we would continue to be this nation.
Talk about a time in history when Americans were at each other's throats.
Indeed. And democracy was on trial.
Right.
So, and the question as to our own national character, what do we want to be? So it is that President Lincoln declared this fourth Thursday in November every year as a day of prayer and fasting and thanksgiving. It's not about anything else but just taking a moment to say thank you. Thank you to the God who made us. Thank you to the friends that He gave us. Thank you for the people around me who helped me find better who I really am. I can't do that in a vacuum. And I have for you folks, just as a closing thought here, this Thanksgiving prayer. And Miriam, I'd like your participation in this. But I came across this and thought it would be appropriate. This is a Thanksgiving help that says, God, when I have food, help me to remember the hungry. When I have work, help me to remember the jobless. And when I have a home, help me to remember those who have no home at all. When I am without pain, help me remember those who suffer. And in remembering, help me to destroy my complacency, bestir my compassion, and be concerned enough to help by word and deed those who cry out for what we take for granted. That's our Thanksgiving prayer for you, my friend. And it is with a heart of thanksgiving that I'd offer you today's show, realizing and recognizing that we have before us all of those many opportunities. As we stop here for this moment in 2017 and 2018 beckons us, what lies ahead? What kind of town do we want to be? As it was true for the nation in 1863, it's all before us. It may be that we have to make some painful choices. Maybe we have to take even more risk. Maybe we have to extend ourselves a bit further than we have in the past. But it's my conviction that we can do so. I see it happening all over town.
Well, I see the path behind us, too, pointing us in a good direction.
Mm.
If you think back to Mission St. Louis and that first Christmas there and all that's happened since then, we're on the path. We have our own choice, but the choices and the directions and the path we've moved in, it's going in a good place.
I agree, and I think with what we've done today, we've done just a thumbnail of recollection. But perhaps you found in those comments, in those conversations, the people who are inspired to do the things that they do so very well in making Tallahassee a great place to live. With that, I will say it is our pleasure always to be here with you every week. My dear friend and our good, faithful associate and co-host, Miriam Dady.
Thank you, Brian.
A pleasure, always. We have been given an opportunity to bring this radio broadcast to you through the many years that we've been on the air. And there's lots of ways that you can participate. And I should point out a heartfelt thanks to Carl, our producer, who is remarkably faithful. I don't know what more to say except that he is stalwart in everything he does. And he has made this show what it is, to be honest. I'm thankful for all of the people here with Moose Magnificat Radio, with Alcom Media Entertainment. It is our pleasure to serve you this way. Be sure to check us out. If you haven't done so, go to our website. MooseMagnificat.com is the radio station, and you'll find our show at TallahasseeTalks.com. Miriam, I bid you a blessed and wonderful Thanksgiving.
Thank you very much. We're only halfway through the holidays. We'll keep going.
We got a lot more ahead. We're the production of Alcom Media and Entertainment, and our executive producer is indeed Carl Cerny. I'll be looking for you again next week, as will Miriam Dady, and we will continue this wonderful adventure we call Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
So if you come to me and say, I want to buy a home, the first thing I do is say, okay, let's talk about the process. What can I afford? Not just the purchase price. What kind of lifestyle do you want to have?
Tiffany Hamilton, broker of Eck and Hamilton Realty, talking about the real estate market in Tallahassee.
Right now, for an investor, in my opinion, we should be looking at affordable housing. What that means is a price point of about $100,000 to $200,000 price range. For the investor, it's a rental income between $1,000 and $1,500 a month max.
Realtor, broker, consultant, Tiffany Hamilton is helping home buyers, investors, and other realtors achieve their individual goals.
Hi, I'm Tiffany Hamilton. Investing in real estate or buying a home has never been more challenging. Even finding solid information you can trust can also be a challenge. That's exactly why I began my career nearly 15 years ago, to help buyers and sellers overcome those challenges. As a broker, as a realtor, or a consultant, if I can help you achieve your goals, it would be my pleasure.
Call 850-366-8433 or online at TiffanyHamilton.com.